Welcome to your OCR GCSE Art and Design Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving deep into painting. That's topic 1.2 on the specification. Whether you're working on your coursework portfolio or preparing for the externally set task, this episode is going to give you everything you need to maximize your marks. We'll cover the four assessment objectives, key techniques, brilliant artists to reference, and I'll give you my top exam tips at the end. So grab a sketchbook, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Painting at GCSE is assessed entirely through your portfolio and your externally set task. There is no written exam for art and design at GCSE. Your marks come entirely from what you make and how you document your creative journey. That means every page of your sketchbook, every color test, every annotated experiment is earning you marks. Never throw anything away. Even a failed attempt is evidence of your process, and examiners love to see that. Now, the OCR specification divides your marks equally across four assessment objectives. Each one is worth exactly 25% of your total mark. Let's go through each one in detail. Assessment objective one is called develop. This is where you investigate and research the work of other artists. For painting, this means looking closely at painters, their techniques, their use of color, their mark making, their compositional choices, and then connecting that research to your own developing work. The key word here is connection. It's not enough to write a biography of Van Gogh and stick in a printed image. You need to show that studying his impasto brushwork directly influenced how you applied paint in your own studies. Examiners are looking for that explicit link between what you've researched and what you've made. Assessment objective two is experiment. This is all about your materials, techniques, and processes. For painting, this means trying things out, testing different viscosities of paint, experimenting with palette knives versus brushes, exploring what happens when you apply paint to a textured ground versus a smooth, primed canvas. The word examiners love to see here is refinement. Show that you tried something, evaluated it, and then improved it. Keep your failed color mixes in your sketchbook, right next to them. This mix became muddy because I used too many pigments. I corrected this by limiting my palette to two colors plus white. That kind of annotation is gold. Assessment objective three is record. This is your observational work, your primary source material. In painting, this means working from life or from your own photographs and direct observation. You need to demonstrate that you can accurately record form, light, and color through preparatory studies. A common mistake candidates make is relying entirely on internet images without translating them into their own painted studies. Your primary observation studies, the ones you've done yourself from real objects, real places, real people, are what earn marks here. Think tonal studies, color mixing studies, compositional sketches, and close-up detail studies. Assessment objective four is present. This is your final outcome, the resolved painting that brings everything together. Examiners are assessing technical control and how successfully your visual language communicates your chosen theme. Your final piece should not simply be a larger version of one of your sketches. It needs to demonstrate mastery of your chosen medium and show that you've made deliberate, informed decisions about every aspect of the work, from surface preparation to final varnish. Now let's talk about the key techniques you need to know and use in your painting work. These are the terms that will impress examiners and earn you marks in your annotations. Impasto is the technique of applying paint thickly so that it stands out from the surface, creating texture and relief. Think of Van Gogh's Starry Night, those swirling, sculptural strokes of paint that you can almost feel. When you use impasto, you're making a physical mark that has presence and energy. Use a palette knife or a stiff bristle brush loaded with undiluted paint. In your annotations, explain why you chose this technique, perhaps to convey the rough texture of bark or the turbulent energy of waves. Glazing is the opposite. It's the technique of applying thin, transparent layers of paint over a dried base layer. Each glaze modifies the color beneath it, creating luminous depth you simply cannot achieve by mixing colors together on the palette. The old masters used glazing extensively. Rembrandt would build up dozens of thin oil glazes to create the glowing warmth of skin tones. If you're working in acrylics, you can achieve glazing by heavily diluting your paint with a glazing medium or water. Sgraffito, and this is a great technique to demonstrate in your sketchbook, involves scratching through a wet layer of paint to reveal a contrasting color or the surface beneath. You can use the end of a brush handle, a palette knife, a comb, or even a fork. It creates linear marks with a raw, energetic quality. Artists like Cy Twombly use scratched marks to create a sense of writing and gesture in their work. Wet-on-wet painting means applying paint onto a surface that is still wet, allowing colors to blend and merge at the edges. This creates soft, atmospheric transitions, perfect for skies, water, or skin. Bob Ross famously used wet-on-wet oil painting. In acrylics, you need to work quickly or use a retarder medium to slow the drying time. Dry brush technique involves dragging a brush with very little paint across a textured surface, so the paint catches only on the raised areas and leaves the lower areas unpainted. This creates a broken, rough texture, great for suggesting rough stone, weathered wood, or the sparkle of light on water. Now let's look at some key artists you should be referencing in your painting work. These are practitioners whose techniques directly align with the skills examiners want to see. Vincent van Gogh, working in the post-impressionist period in the late 19th century, is essential for understanding expressive mark-making and color theory. His use of complementary colors, oranges against blues, yellows against purples, creates vibrant visual tension. His impasto brushwork in works like The Starry Night and Sunflowers demonstrates how paint application can itself become expressive. If you're exploring emotional or expressive painting, Van Gogh is your go-to reference. Lucian Freud, the 20th century British figurative painter, is brilliant for understanding observational painting and the depiction of surface and texture. His thick, almost sculptural application of paint to render skin, works like Benefit's Supervisor Sleeping, shows extraordinary technical control. He's particularly relevant if your theme involves portraiture or the human figure. Georgia O'Keeffe, the American modernist, demonstrates how close observation of natural forms can be transformed into near-abstract compositions. Her large-scale flower paintings show masterful control of tone and color gradation, and her work is a brilliant model for how to move from primary observation to a resolved personal response. Bridget Riley, the British op art painter, is excellent for exploring color relationships, optical effects, and the formal elements of line and shape. If your theme involves pattern, perception, or abstraction, Riley's work provides a strong contextual framework. For more contemporary reference, you might look at Jenny Seville for raw, powerful figurative painting or Anselm Kiefer for mixed media approaches that incorporate paint with other materials for textural and conceptual depth. Now let's talk about building a strong portfolio. Your sketchbook is not just a place to store finished work. It's the evidence of your thinking process. Every page should tell a story of development. Start with your research pages for AO1, but remember, don't just print and stick. Annotate every image you include. Write about specific techniques the artist uses, the colors they choose, the mood they create, and crucially, how this influences your own work. For AO2, your experimentation pages should show a genuine range of approaches. Try the same subject in at least 3 different ways, perhaps once with a fine brush for detail, once with a palette knife for texture, and once using a sponge for a soft atmospheric effect. Annotate each attempt with an honest evaluation. What worked? What didn't? What will you change next time? For AO3, your recording pages should include a variety of observational studies. Don't rely on a single photograph. Work from the object directly if you can. Do tonal studies in pencil or charcoal before you pick up a brush. Do color mixing studies where you try to match the exact colors you observe. The more varied and rigorous your recording, the more marks you'll earn. For AO4, your final outcome needs to be fully resolved. This means it should look finished, not abandoned. Every area of the surface should be considered. The background is as important as the foreground. The edges of the canvas matter. Before you declare a painting finished, step back and ask, does this communicate my intention? Does it demonstrate the techniques I've been developing? Does it show the influence of my artist research? Now for my top exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Mistake number 1, relying on secondary sources. If every image in your sketchbook is a printed photograph from the internet, you're going to lose marks on AO3. Get out there and draw from life, visit a gallery, set up a still life, take your own photographs, and then paint from them. Primary observation is non-negotiable. Mistake number 2, superficial paint application. If you've used acrylic paint, but every mark is a flat, thin wash of color with no exploration of texture, layering, or technique, you're not demonstrating AO2. Push the material, try it thick, try it thin, try it with a palette knife, try it on different surfaces, show that you understand what paint can do. Mistake number 3, the disconnect between research and outcome. This is the most common way candidates lose marks. You've done beautiful pages on Van Gogh's impasto technique, and then your final painting is smooth, flat, and shows no evidence of that research at all. Examiners need to see the thread running through your portfolio from AO1 research to AO4 outcome. Make it explicit. Annotate your final piece with references back to your artist research. Mistake number 4, insufficient annotation. Your sketchbook should be full of your voice, your thinking, your decisions, your evaluations. Don't just label things. Explain why. I chose ultramarine blue because it's cool. Receding quality creates depth in the background, inspired by the atmospheric perspective I observed in Constable's landscapes. That kind of annotation earns marks. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask you 5 questions. Pause the podcast and try to answer each one before I give you the answer. Question 1. What does AO2 assess in OCR GCSE Art and Design? Pause now. The answer is AO2 assesses your ability to experiment with and develop art, craft, and design skills, techniques, and processes, specifically your refinement of materials and methods. Question 2. Name 3 painting techniques that use paint at different viscosities. Pause now. Good answers include impasto, thick, glazing, thin and transparent, and wet on wet, fluid. Dry brush also involves very little paint. Question 3. What is the difference between primary and secondary sources in art? Pause now. Primary sources are things you observe and record directly. Life drawing, your own photographs, objects in front of you. Secondary sources are images made by others. Internet printouts, books, reproductions. Both are useful, but primary sources are essential for AO3. Question 4. Name 2 artists associated with expressive mark-making in painting. Pause now. Van Gogh and Lucian Freud are strong answers. You might also say Frank Auerbach, C.Y. Twombly, or Joan Mitchell. Question 5. What should your final painted outcome demonstrate that a preparatory sketch does not? Pause now. Your final outcome should demonstrate full technical mastery of the medium, complete resolution of the composition, and a clear, successful communication of your chosen theme. It should be a step beyond the sketch in ambition, scale, and finish. So let's wrap up. Painting at GCSE is about so much more than making a pretty picture. It's about demonstrating a rigorous, evidence-based creative journey. Keep your sketchbook full and annotated. Research artists deeply and make explicit connections to your own work. Experiment fearlessly with your materials and document everything. Record from primary sources and make sure your final outcome is a fully resolved, technically accomplished painting that you're genuinely proud of. Remember the 4 AOs: develop, experiment, record, present, each worth 25%. Hit all 4 consistently and you're on track for the highest marks. Good luck with your work. Keep painting, keep questioning, and keep pushing your practice. I'll see you in the next episode.